Blog Talk Radio.
I want to thank everybody for tuning into the International Black Summit Talk Show. My name is Clara Lyons Devon, and for this show, we have a very special treat. I will be joined tonight with two of our new Ideas Talk Show hosts. You will hear more from these wonderful hosts as we roll out our new series of shows for 2009. It's my pleasure to introduce my West Coast colleague, Ms. Shakaysha Shower of California.
Hey, you're from California, Compton, California, to be exact.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for hosting the show with me tonight. And also, Ms. Henrietta Boyd Bird from Illinois will also be joining us a little later in the show, but we want to give a shout-out to her as well. I would also like to welcome and thank everyone who's listening live tonight, and if you'd like to call in with any comments or questions, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. Again, that number is 646-716-9827. You can also listen via the web at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. And I'd really like to take a moment to for those of you who are unfamiliar with the International Black Summit, to tell you a little bit about who we are. The International Black Summit is a gathering of people of Black African descent from diverse backgrounds, countries, lifestyles, opinions, and views who come together to celebrate and empower the vision of the Declaration, and we explore questions and issues which empower our participants to realize their vision for the Black community and the world. This week and the weeks preceding it have definitely been a testimony to the fulfillment of the vision of one very special man, our President-elect Barack Obama.
Yay!
Yes, indeed. President-elect Barack Obama held his vision of change when others doubted. He was a relatively unknown senator. He announced his intentions to run for office. And not just any office, he ran for the highest, most prestigious office, that of President of the United States of America. In the midst of all of the commentaries, the opinions, the concerns, considerations, what was destined and for some very unimaginable occurred, alignment. Alignment locally, alignment nationally and internationally for change. And for Barack Obama as the 44th president of the United States of America. A lot of people may say we voted Barack Obama into office. In the summit, when there is a decision to be made, we use what's called an alignment process. So there's this distinction alignment, which is a little bit different than voting. To me, what's occurred over the last year and culminated on Tuesday with this election was the most phenomenal alignment process. So if you have a question or a comment and you'd like to call in, again, that number is 646-716-9827. And I'd like, Keisha, for all of our listeners, can you share a little bit about the alignment process?
Yes. Well, just really great. I like just how you shared that about, an alignment happening. And as you said, this is something from the International Black Summit that it's a process that we use. In fact, it's a body. The body of our work comes from distinctions. And one of the distinctions is alignment. And let me kind of share it from looking at something we know or that we've all done before, and then keep going back to alignment. So we just had an election, and as we all know, being students of civics and actually exercising our right of voting, that there's something called an election where we vote, where we tally up the numbers, how many for and how many against. So that's voting, and usually the way it works is the person with the majority wins. That's it. Whoever has the most, counts next to them has won, and then we move on. However, in the International Black Summit, when we're looking at decisions, we use the distinction called alignment, which has nothing to do with voting. sometimes it might look like voting because it is a group of people, and we start looking at various things. So if we were, like, looking at the elections, we would look at all of the candidates. And people would share, like, I'm for this person. I'm, you know, I'm for that person. I'm for that. But it's not voting. What we even talk about is we allow people to be very expressive. It's not about, you know, just tell me this one thing, yes or no. But it's really a total freedom of expression. And the only guidelines or the place that we stand about it is that we really let people know it's, one, not voting. So you don't have to look to see who's on which side. We also say it's not stopping someone else from getting what they want, or even you getting what you want. We also say it's not about persuading people. So, you know, I mean, when you're listening to all of this, you're like, well, how do you get to it? Like, so how do you get to the result? How do you know what the result is? So it's not even about a result as much it is as it's about getting present to something. And when I say the word present, I mean becoming conscious. And for me, it's almost like a letting go of myself and getting very, almost like in tune, very in tune now. You know, you might say in tune to the room, in tune to the decision, but it's, for me, it's like really tuning in, like almost like finding the radio station between the static. And so you get very present, and what we say is that the alignment is already present. And what we're doing is one of another of our distinctions called clearing, which means really to that thing I said about the expression, giving you an opportunity to say what you want to say, that's what we call clearing. So like in the election, you might be saying all of the reasons why you like Obama and all the reasons why you might not like McCain. And we might say that's like a clearing. But what you're doing is you say all of these things, and then we start asking the question in the room, is everybody present to the alignment? And in the room, it looks like something like, we'll say that question, and if there's anyone, if there's 100 people, and there's two people who say they're not present to the alignment, then no alignment is present in that moment. And what we say, well, not no alignment is present, but what we do is we then ask those two people to share. We really engage in a conversation with them. And one of the questions we ask are, what is your consideration? And for me, this is what's very powerful about alignment, is that everybody's voice is heard. No group of voices or no numbers of voices is more powerful than that one voice, because that one voice gets to be heard. So the person will share their consideration. And consideration is something that's having you not be present to the alignment. And they share that. And then we asked another question, which is, are you present? Now, what is it, Claire? Having your considerations.
Your considerations, are you present to the alignment?
Right. You know, because what we say is we're not trying to take people's considerations away. What we're asking them is holding it, like if you had a bowl in your hand, your considerations would be still present in that bowl. And then we would ask you, with those considerations, are you present to the alignment? And, I mean, we've done this. I've been in the summit since 1993, and I have watched it over the years. Sometimes it has taken us all night, and sometimes it's been a short amount of time. But this whole process of alignment is so beautiful, because as people look and continue to be with their consideration and look to be present to the alignment, you can just see people. I know when I've experienced it myself, I feel this thing of, okay, here's my considerations, yeah, yeah, they didn't take that away. They're not trying to make me let that go. And then I'm like, I'm present. I'm present to the alignment. And then that's where the result or decision or the alignment actually shows up for what it is that we're up to. And so as Claire was saying, she saw it when she looks at what happened with Obama becoming our 44th president. The way I see it is there were considerations, all at different levels, lots of them, in many different places.
Right. And that's why, for me, it's like alignment was just so distinct, because you had, of course, the Republicans. And in any election, you expect on one side they're the Republicans, and on the other side, you know, you have the Democrats, and then you have independents and, you know, the other constituent groups. And you expect, you know, the voting process to happen. But there were so many considerations and concerns with this particular election. And I so make up that it, you know, wasn't the alignment. Barack was a result of the alignment, but the alignment really was about change. Like, people were really aligned for change to happen in the way we do things. And like nationally, internationally, people all over the world were looking at the United States, and we were the representative of that change. Like, everybody was standing in the space of, we just want things to be different. They've just got to be different.
Which then has you maybe look at what perhaps was the, as we say, what was the alignment question.
Right.
You know,
Because you might
like, what was really the alignment question? Maybe the alignment question, maybe not necessarily was, do you want to elect Obama? Like that's the alignment question. But, like, what's the alignment question?
Right.
Like, we had an election that says, do you want Obama or McClain? But perhaps, or, like, for consideration, what was the alignment question that was being asked by the election?
Exactly, exactly. I want to, we have some callers.
Oh, great.
Yes, I'd like to acknowledge who's there on the line joining us. We have 773-241.
This is Henrietta.
Hi.
Yay.
Hi.
You are with us now. Thank you so much. This is our other host we were sharing with you about earlier, Ms. Henrietta from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes. The place where it happened.
We have someone also at 757-969. Who's there?
565 Althea Donnelly from, I'm a native New Yorker, now living in Virginia for six
awesome.
Years.
Well, welcome. Thank you. Althea, glad to hear from you. And we also have 773-723. Who's there?
This would be Lenar.
Hello, Lenar. How are you?
Doing good.
Good, good. So,
if you wouldn't mind, you know, as I was listening, I was in the chat room. I typed several things, so I don't want this to get away, because I think both of you brought up a good point. One of the things that happened for me, actually, it was what you said about, Clara, about the alignment being for change. I actually do think that was, you know, one of the alignments. And what Chiquesha brought up, yeah, there was an alignment for the change to come from McCain, and there was an alignment for change to come from Barack. And there was an alignment for change to come from many people voted in, you know, wrote in Ron Paul and several other people. So really what happened for me at the summit weekend when we were in the alignment question about the early bird date of December 31st.
Yeah.
And we went through that. I got clear about, I was present to an alignment that I wasn't aligned with, even though I, you know, went along with it. I was like, okay, well, you know, for whatever reasons I did. But that is what had me in the inquiry, because I got that there may be more than one alignment. And so I'm really excited that you started out the show speaking to that, addressing that. That there's more than one alignment. There is not a the alignment. And I hadn't been present to that until last weekend, or whenever that was, 2 weekends ago.
Got it. So one of the things in the alignment process that really comes up is people don't necessarily have to agree what the alignment is. They just have to be present to it. So, like, now people are present that Barack Obama is our president-elect for the 44th president of the United States of America. Some people agree with that. Some people don't agree with that. But it is what is. And one thing about alignment, there's an isness about it. It is. Whether you agree, disagree, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, it just is. And despite how you feel about it, it's almost like it's the natural course of what is. It's the isness. And so the voting is kind of the action that gets us. Sometimes we're in action around things, and sometimes we're not in action, but the isness of what's occurring, that's the true alignment. And as Shakesha was saying, you know, we have to figure out, sometimes we're not sure what we're aligning on. And when alignment is really present, it's very clear. So, like, for me in this election, the question, if I were to ask one, is change. People were aligned around change. Democrats, Republicans, Chinese people, you know, English people, people around the world, people in Africa, everyone, like, that was the focal, that was the isness.
And I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah, no, I'm just making a statement. Yeah, like, that's what.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is really good, because for the listeners who are just joining us, we had a meeting with the International Black Summit, our body meeting, planning meeting, things like that, October 22nd in Cherry Hill. So that was one of the things Lenore was referring to. A lot of times in an International Black Summit, where I got very familiar with the alignment process was around where the International Black Summit annual event will be each year. And one of the things, as we would work on that particular alignment just about every year or every other year, what I learned from it, and it's kind of something I want to underline again about the alignment, is once the question has been called, the alignment question, people who have consideration, we go through that process, and once alignment is present, one of the things I got is it's complete. People are people, and so usually sometimes people will step out the room when the alignment is happening and they come back and the process has completed. And some people was, well, I wasn't here, so I didn't align. I didn't thought it. You know, you have things like that, or people say, well, I was, but I wasn't. And the thing that I really loved about the process of alignment was when they would say, well, the alignment is now, present. And whether you disagree or you weren't in the room, it is. And at first I used to get, like, upset about that. But it actually started to deepen another way for me to be in the world, which is about something about I don't want to use alignment to define alignment, but it's like once I started looking at it further than myself, like, well, I wasn't in the room or I don't agree, as I kept moving myself out of the way, this whole thing about the alignment is present, it's like, it's almost like you can't take it back, or you don't change it. But it's more than that. It's just, for me, it was actually a deepening of myself, almost like a removing of myself like a personality, and really getting in tune with something even larger than myself, you know. At the time, I kept saying, well, it's larger than the people in this room. You know, I'm just connecting with the people in the room. But over the years, I've gotten, it's like connecting to the energy, to the spirits, to a lot of things. But I could really feel an expansion of myself in being present with alignment.
That's really great. Henrietta, would you like to share about your experience, because you were there in Grant Park and this whole thing that Shakesha is speaking of kind of lends itself to your experience and what you experienced being in that space on election night?
It took me a minute to hear what you were saying because I was so into what Shakesha was saying. And if I could just, can I respond to that first?
Sure.
Okay. I experience alignment as a surrender, but it's like a surrender in a safe space. You know, like it's okay. It's like a kind of a letting go and being one with what is. And although sometimes we don't know what is, but it's like letting go and being one with it anyway. That's kind of how alignment is for me. It's like an okay thing to do, even in spite of the concerns I might have, or the, you know, my questions or my whatever. It's like okay, and that's the way I see that the election, and it was, which does like take us right to Grant Park on Tuesday night, because when it's realized, it's almost like a, it's almost shocking, you know, it's almost shocking. And excuse me, that it occurs. Do you know what I mean? I mean, does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
You know, it's real interesting because as I shared with you before, everybody that I know wanted Obama to win. Everybody thought it was possible, and everybody was shocked when it occurred.
Say a little bit more about that. What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was like everybody did everything. You know, I'm talking, when I say everybody, the people that I know, okay, and a lot of different circles. Everyone made sure that everyone was registered. They made sure that people were clear on the issues. You know, I'm in the field of cosmetology often, and so there's always a lot of conversation that goes on in those areas. And so there was a lot of clearing, to use a distinction from the summit. There was a lot of clearing that went on all year long, because most of the people, the majority of the people that I knew, when Obama announced that he was thinking about it, not that he was, but that he was considering it, most of the people in many of the circles did not think he was ready, and they were Hillary supporters. And as they started to voice their concerns, it's exactly the way alignment happens. As they were able to voice their concerns and hear themselves and put it out there, those concerns disappeared. And that's what alignment does. It allows you to voice your concern to the degree that your concerns, many times they just disappear or they go back to their nothing. You know, they kind of go back to the nothingness from whence they came. And over the months, as people started to look at the possibility.
Billy, back down on my phone.
You know, as they started to look at the possibility.
Billy?
Hello?
Yeah, I want to call. I want to make a call to Grandma and check on this.
Clara?
Clara? Keep going, Henrietta. Keep going.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I said, as they were able to voice their concerns, there was kind of a surrender that went on that said, oh, this is really possible, because what it really was they did not think it was possible. And that was their major concern, is that they didn't think it was possible.
But when
once they accepted the possibility of it, then people started to align. They started to become one with the idea or one with the possibility of it occurring. And you know how it is when you open your mind to something, then, of course, you receive.
Right.
And all of the attributes of the possibility start to come forth. Excuse me. And so when we found out that the tickets they gave, you know, you could get tickets online to go to Grant Park that night, but they only had 70,000 tickets. And the tickets were gone within 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
You had to be online when they announced it. You almost had to be at the computer at that time in order to get them. And after that, they put you on a waiting list. Well, we knew that based on the number of people that we knew were on the waiting list, that they had to come up with a second, you know, a second plan. Because not only were the people here in Chicago attending, but people came from all over to attend. And as we waited just to find out what that other plan was going to be, we continued to make plans to go to Grant Park. And we knew that there was going to be space for us somewhere because it's a very large place. And so we just continued, the people I know, we just continued to make plans to be there and talk to other people who were doing the same thing. And so you could only drive so far. So it really didn't make sense to drive if you could get to any kind of public transportation, train or bus or elevated train or, you know, any kind of public transportation. It was really easier because that's really the only way to get anywhere close. And so we got on a regular bus, a regular city bus, and it was about 75 blocks from Grant Park, and they closed down the city, I would say, a mile or 2 miles in each direction. So the only thing that could come through was public transportation. And as you got closer and closer to the area, people started to get on the bus. And it was just so interesting that when you align to something, or I'm not sure how to state that yet, but
yeah,
when you are determined, or when your intention is
to
do something, everyone that you run into is on the same page that you're on. And so the journey from the house, if you came from your house to Grant Park, was a journey of alignment, because as the bus got closer and closer, everybody on the bus was headed in the same direction. Every was not only headed in the same direction, but they were headed to the same place. And so they had the same excitement. They had the same, questions of, you know, people were like, well, when I left home, this is what was going on. This is what was going on. And as you got closer, of course, the people, things had changed as far as the returns. And so the people who got on the bus that were closer to the area, of course, had the updates. So automatically there was a communication that was there because we were all on one accord and we all had the same intention. And so as people got on and they gave their reports, it started conversation on the bus. And the bus became just this real wonderful space for sharing. Mm. And we found out our similarities. And, I mean, these are people of all nationalities, male, female. I mean, just every nationality you can imagine, every age group. And this conversation was going on the bus and why it was so important for each individual to be in Grant Park. Everybody had a reason that they had to be there. And not only did they have a reason, they had experiences that their life experiences were like the drivers for this election to turn out the way they wanted it to. It was just, I've had enough. You know, I've had enough. I've gone through this. There were not a lot of African Americans on the bus. You know, I mean, like, there were a lot of African Americans on the bus. Let me change that. They were not the majority of the people on the bus. And it was just a great mixture of people. And everyone had the same intention. Everybody got on the bus. They gave their update, and then they gave their reason why Obama had to win. Mm. And it was based on their experiences, that the things that they had gone through. There were people on the bus who marched with King that were not African American. There were people who had just had every kind of experience you could imagine, and they had their reasons why they wanted Obama to win. And so after we determined where we were going to get off, you still had about a mile to walk once you got off the bus. And so you just grouped. You just gathered in these groups and you walked, you know, toward Grant Park in these groups. And as you walked past, you would see people that you knew. You know, there were some people who were just downtown in that area. There were some people who were just, you know, going or coming from wherever, and you would run into people that you knew, but you could not stop and talk to them, because if you did, you would lose your group because there were so many people. So after you do that one time, what happens is your group has to stop that you're with, because if they don't stop, then you're just gone. You're just lost in the crowd. And so after that, you learn that you just wave, you know, and just, hi, how you doing, and keep walking. And what was so symbolic about that was that everybody was headed in the same direction. The people who were not headed in the same direction, the symbolism of it, it's the people who are not headed in the direction that you're going, you don't need to stop and talk to them. you hear what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I got so present to that. I'm like, why would you stop and talk to somebody, Henrietta, who's not going in the same direction that you're going?
Right. And Henrietta, you said a really important thing about alignment, and it's actually just being present to the alignment. It's not that you like agree with it or disagree with it. It's just you're present to it. You're, even the people who were going in the opposite direction saw all of the people going, you know, to Grant Park or going in the direction. Like, you can't miss it. You know?
So, Clara, again.
So present. Even if you're not a part of it, you still, you're present to it.
Mm-hmm. I want to point out again that that was an alignment. That was one alignment going on. And those people who were going in another direction, they were present to an alignment. You know, it's like there's a multitude, and we were here in the chat room, there's a multitude of simultaneous alignments going on at any particular moment in time. None of them are right. None of them are wrong. It's just whichever one floats my boat, whichever one floats your boat. And that's what I'm saying, that I got present to at that weekend, in the October weekend, the leadership body, and I'm hearing it again in this conversation. And I'm like, why not stop and talk to those people? It's not going to take me off of my path. I know where I'm going. I'm, you know, dealing with my alignment. It's mine. It may not be theirs. So I just want
to. The part of it, I agree with you on part of it, and I disagree with you on another part of it. I think when alignment is present, everyone can see it. It's the point of whether they agree or disagree with it. It's like if you take, in this particular conversation, we're focusing on the alignment around the election. And I'm calling that alignment change, because one of the things Shakesha was talking about earlier when she was on the line was getting present. You have to pick which alignment question you're discussing in the moment. So I agree with you, yes. There are lots of things that are occurring simultaneously, and depending on which one you're focusing on, and in this conversation we're focusing on the alignment of change, the alignment that results in Barack Obama becoming the president-elect of the United States of America. And I agree, there are other things that are going on, but when – whatever alignment you're focusing on in the moment, everyone who is breathing at some point, at some point they're either present to it or they're not present to it.
That's for me again. That is present to an alignment.
Well, whichever one you're focusing on in the moment. And I agree, there are multiple alignments, but whatever one you're focusing on in the moment, people are either present to it or they're not present to it. They're either conscious of it or they're not conscious of it. And it doesn't take it away, just like it doesn't take away that there are other alignments out there, but whatever one you're focusing on, like the person who was walking, and I'm just using this as a symbolism, the opposite direction, or who wasn't going to Grant Park. Like you said, his alignment or her alignment may have been to be at home, you know, like you say in the chat room, there were people who didn't want to be with all those people. So their, you know, what they were choosing to do was be at home, watch it on TV, however people had the experience, their experience of the election.
And that was an alignment. There were millions of people who did that.
I would say that's a choice. The alignment is whether you were at home, whether you were in the park, wherever you were, the isness is people were present to change is happening right now.
I've agreed with that way early on, and all I was saying, and just as many, I'm saying, yes, there were some people, because everybody wasn't interested in a change. There were some who was saying, like, well, I don't want anything the way it's going. I want it to be the way it was, which, you know, in a way it's like Republicans. But at any rate, there were some people who were not wanting a change. And all I'm present to is that there were many people who were in alignment with that, who were present to that alignment. I'm just dealing with, for me, it's semantics about the word the. Because one of the great things for me when I started in the International Black Summit was Robin Randolph pointing out to me how, you know, that the word the, there is a word a. because the one is just one of many. It's an. It is an alignment. And just like people were present to wanting change or present to that alignment, there were just as many people, you know, who may not have been, I don't know, but there were people who were not present to that alignment. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. They were present to that alignment.
Mm-hmm.
They were present to it. And I'm still saying it is an alignment.
Right.
Can I just, this is Althea again from Virginia.
Yes.
And I'm listening to the conversation. I've been a part of the International Black Summit. I haven't participated in a while, but I knew about the leader body meeting in October. And I've been in the conversation of alignment, and I'm listening to the conversation about alignment. And I don't know who just said alignment is people were present to change. And I don't know if this is part of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, or not wrong, but just correct me if I don't understand what the alignment is. But to me, alignment was when I was on the line for last Tuesday to vote, there were people on the line. It was six lines deep, and it was a 2-hour line here in Virginia, and there were all kinds of people on the line, black, white, young, old, and people who had never voted before, people who voted every election, and people from every walk of life. But the one thing that was present was the people on the line were ready for change. And to me, that was an alignment. We didn't all agree. We didn't all agree on the issues. We didn't agree on what was being said sometimes, or we didn't even agree on our lifestyles. Everybody had different lifestyles. But there was one thing that was present. Everybody agreed that it was time for something new to happen in this country, something else to happen in this country. And Obama represented that. And for me, that's just what, not that we agreed on the issue or the issues or agreed on, you know, our lifestyle, but we agreed that we were aligned, I say, that it was time for change.
Althea, may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
This is Lenar in Chicago here.
Uh-huh.
And so if Barack represented the change, what did McCain represent?
Well, for me, he represented more of the same, what we had for the last 8 years.
Exactly.
And so we were, for me, alignment was just that. It, no matter what we saw, I thought about, it took me back to Rosa Parks and when they boycotted the buses. No matter what African Americans were doing at that time, no matter whether they couldn't walk, whether they were lame or whether they were, you know, they didn't agree on all the issues, but no one got on the bus. No one rode the bus. They all were in alignment. And that's what it reminded me of, that, like we were, in this case, we were all together, no matter what color we were, no matter what age, no matter what, we were all together, and it was time for change. And for a lot of us, McCain represented more of what we had for the last 8 years.
Exactly.
And we weren't ready for, we didn't want that anymore. We wanted something different.
Exactly.
And so that's where everyone was aligned on, it is time for a change.
And what I'm saying is not everyone was aligned that it was time for a change, because although McCain did not win the election, mm-hmm. People still were in that, possibly some in that very line you were in, who voted for McCain, who were
right.
Not in that alignment. They were in the alignment for the same.
Well,
that's all I'm speaking to.
Right, and that's fine. That's all I'm saying. It's not anything about the, you know, Obama or McCain. It's more about, it seemed like more people, there were a lot of people. The election, this is more people voted and more people registered to vote than have, I think the last time was
right.
You know, early part of the 20th century. And so more people registered to vote, more people voted, young people, 18-year-olds, people who were 21, some people who were 21 when they were 18 didn't register to vote. My sister moved from New York to here in Virginia. She wasn't registered to vote. She registered to vote. Her daughter registered. People registered to vote because they were ready for something new. Now, that to me, that was their alignment. The people who were not ready for change, they aligned on that. That was their alignment. So it's whatever that, conversation.
Yes, that's what I'm saying out there. And some of those very people who registered to vote newly did not vote, were not registering to vote for change. They were registering to vote to keep it the way it is. A lot of people who registered to vote were Republicans also because they were afraid.
I'm not debating on that. I'm trying to distinguish alignment, and I just
I haven't been
in the conversation for a while, so I'm not debating. You know, which was you know what, who did what. All I'm saying is that to me, a lot of people were ready. It seemed like there were more people ready for change than were not, given that people were registering, people were doing things that they hadn't done in a long time or had never done. And so for me, that was extraordinary. I mean, and of course the fact that Obama won was extraordinary also, but it was more extraordinary to me that people were just doing things that they had not done before. People were participating that have not even participated in anything that had to do with the government, because they were, some young people were like, for what? Nothing's going to change. So it was amazing to me that this brought about a whole nother conversation that hadn't really been open the way it was, the way it is now. It had never been open before. And that's all I'm saying. It's not, you know, I'm just trying to distinguish. And the ones who were not ready for change, they were aligned on that they're not ready for change and they would like more of the same. That, to me, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to get clear on alignment and as opposed to agreement, because it's two different things.
Right. So am I, Elfield, and so am I. And that's why I want everyone on this call and who's listening and in the chat room to know at Lennar what I do. I will engage in the conversation with others and myself until I get it clear for me. And what I've been sharing about is my clarity about it.
So I'd like to go back, because we are trying to get to the distinction alignment versus voting. And Lennar, you asked the question, the people who voted for McCain, were they aligned? And my response...
What alignment were they present to?
Yeah, what alignment were they present to? And my response to that is their alignment, the alignment that was present was still change. Now, who you voted for is who you vote for. Alignment is not voting.
Okay.
So, okay, I'm not sure that they were present to the alignment change.
See, I would say that they were.
I got it. That's what you would say, and I'd say no.
Okay, got it. So I want to get back to alignment, because we're using the term, or I should say the term in this conversation is being used to describe something that I assert is not part of the alignment distinction as we define it in the International Black Summit.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is Jackie Grace. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey. And it's interesting listening to... listening to this conversation around alignment and the recent election in the United States. I'm calling from Canada. And so one of the things for me, how I have sometimes looked at alignment as it relates to political processes, we also recently had a federal election here in Canada where we elected a new prime minister. And we re-elected the existing prime minister, who is a conservative prime minister, who I personally often do not agree with his party's policies or practices. That even though I do not agree with their policies and practices, I was present to the alignment that he would be reelected by the Canadian population. I was not in agreement with that, but I was present to that alignment within our population. And so I also was present to, in terms of Barack Obama's election, I was present to what I thought was an alignment towards him being the next president of the United States. Although I know that there are many people who did not agree with that and probably who still do not agree with that. But agreement aside, I was present to the alignment of him, of his likely, of the energy of the American electorate being more towards him as the next president than towards John McCain. And so I was personally present to that alignment, although needless to say, I had no say in the matter. I had no vote in the matter.
You have a very interesting point, Jackie.
Yeah.
In Kenya, people were present to the alignment in China, in Japan, in London. I don't think any election that I've, in my few years on the planet, had an opportunity, presidential election, I have never seen that much interest and overwhelmingly, you know, the shots that they took around the world of people who were looking at America and looking at this election and being in the space of, you know, this particular alignment, what I'm calling it, an alignment of change, than I've ever seen before. Just that was phenomenal for me.
But the other thing that I will point out is that for me, the American people also aligned on George W. Bush for 8 years.
That's right.
Right? And
I agree. I definitely.
And many,
I don't.
I don't either. Well, I think they aligned on indifference, you know?
Well, I have a question. This is Henrietta. Because I need to get clear on something, because in my mind, or in my world, as Lennar would say, alignment occurs. It's what occurs in the moment. So in the moment that was November 4th at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, alignment occurred. And change, which is what we're calling this particular alignment, it occurred. Sameness did not. So for me, the people who voted for, did not vote for Obama, I'll just say that. Wait a minute, let me finish. The people who did not vote for Obama, I don't think that has anything to do with alignment. It's just like the people who did not vote for Bush had nothing to do with the alignment that Bush, that resulted in Bush being in office for 8 years. There was an alignment there that occurred, and it didn't matter if you voted for him or not, it occurred, and that was the alignment. So I see alignment as something that occurs. So for me, I can't see that the people who voted against Obama were aligned for, it's not like they were aligned for sameness, because sameness did not occur. Change occurred.
Right, change.
So could someone help me there?
Hello,
yeah.
Clara?
Shakesha, you're back?
Yes, I'm back. I've been listening. So I just wanted to put in, remember the shows about alignment versus voting? We were using what inspired us to do the show was partially, you know, of course, because Obama won. but we got to talking about alignment versus voting. So what just happened on November the 4th was voting.
Thank you.
Okay, not alignment.
Yeah.
Now, what we're...
I disagree.
Okay, hold on for a minute.
Can we just listen to what she's got to say?
Yeah, but I'm just...
Yeah.
That's not what occurred for me.
Okay. So I'm just saying the distinction from the International Black Summit of what alignment is, one of the things is it is not voting. So the model that we're looking at in terms of Obama and November the 4th is voting. Now, part of what I'm a stand for out of this conversation was to have us look at alignment, like to get the distinction of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we had on November the 4th was voting, and that's why the questions of, well, what about the people who didn't vote for Obama? What about the people who voted for Bush? That's voting. Okay? Now, one of the things that I see in this conversation for myself is I can look at this election and inquire into what was there an alignment, not in terms of the voting, but like just like where in life is alignment and I'm just not present to it. It's happening around me all the time. Or what aspect of what I'm participating in life, I mean, an alignment is there. And I'm just using voting to, like, to deepen alignment for myself. Like I said, for myself, it's not, the question wasn't necessarily, is Obama for president? I started, when I just looked at alignment, it had me go down a whole lot of different tracks. So the voting, I'm inviting people to stay clear in each aspect. What happened on November the 4th was voting. The distinction we're sharing tonight is alignment. So, I you know, it's kind of hard because we're flipping, but, you know, that's what I just wanted to put back in. What happened on November the 4th, we had an election. That's a factual thing that everybody can point to, like an agreement, you know. And remember, alignment is not agreeing. It's not about do you agree or did this meet your agreement or anything. So, you know, we're inviting you just to kind of get a little bit more familiar with alignment, because when you lay it up against voting, you can clearly see alignment is not voting.
Well, somebody just said something that alignment was, I forgot the young lady's name, but she said alignment was also that the people who voted for McCain were also present to change. And
okay.
That struck a chord with me because I say that they were present to change and they voted for McCain. So I'm getting an alignment. She mentioned alignment is and change, and those two things to me go hand in hand. I don't know how else to explain it other than I got what she was saying, because they voted, even though they didn't vote for Obama, they voted for McCain, and I got that they were, that everyone was present to change no matter who they voted for. They were present to the change in this country, and that to me was the key word for alignment. We were all in alignment. We didn't agree, because alignment is not agreement. And we voted for, like you said, on November 4th, we voted for who the party we wanted to, but everyone was present to and aligned on that this country does need a change, no matter who they voted for. So I don't know if that...
Yeah, we have some new callers on the line. 347-776.
I like what you said, Althea.
I think this is Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, what's up? I decided to come on the phone.
Thank you.
It was getting too hot.
Get out of that chat room.
The walls started closing in, huh?
Well, one of the things that I want to actually speak to is that I suspect, not that I know, but I suspect that there was alignment for Barack Obama, and the alignment had nothing to do with the voting.
No.
The vote occurred, and the vote was the action that was consistent with that alignment. But there was already an alignment,
yes.
and I say it wasn't even in this country, it was in the world to have Barack be the next president. Because if you look at how other countries were holding it, they were very anxious hoping. There was a kind of presence of hope that Barack Obama would actually be the president. So I say that the vote that occurred was just the action that was consistent with the alignment that was already that we were already present to, and that was. That's what I want to say. Good, right there. Nothing more.
So, Glenn, I like that, actually, and that doesn't negate the other thing about change either. And that's what I'm talking about, multitude of alignments in any moment. So mm-hmm. I agree with Clara that there was – I get that there was an alignment for change, and I can get what you're saying, that inside of that alignment for change wanted to come from Obama.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, now I also with Chikasia, it's like, but wait a minute. Just because you have a majority, that doesn't mean there's alignment. So,
right.
And here's one of the things I love about the summit. Like, we get to wherever we get to in the conversation, because this conversation we have about alignment today isn't where it started out when we were doing it, necessarily the process we used when Perry was handling alignment. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So as we continue to distinguish and work it out for ourselves, you know, we get clearer about it. So I am really excited about this conversation, because this is part of distinguishing distinction.
Right. And for me, the other thing that's present is you know, we have other people on, actually having a chance to, dance with the distinctions. So what I've gotten out of this, and what I've gotten out of being the International Black Summit, that there's another way, a body of people, and especially the body called the International Black Summit, comes together other than voting. Before the International Black Summit, all I had was voting. And I ran around trying to convince people, figure out, you know, who needs to be on my side. It was always againstness that I was working in, you know. Out of having the distinction alignment, there's been a shift for me of one of not againstness, but really a listening inside of myself, a listening of the world, you know. So, you know, that's what one of the stands that I am out of this conversation is that people get to work a little bit with the distinction alignment and to open up this whole thing about you don't have to vote to reach something. It's not like who's the most popular and there's a loser, you know, inside of alignment. I don't have that sense of loser as I did with voting. Somebody won, somebody lost. So, I just wanted to underline that and still say, as Lennar says, alignment has been going through, or we're present to alignment from another place than when I was in 1993 and moving through it. And tonight on the call, the alignment that we've define at the beginning, some of the people still aren't quite being with that definition, it's a conversation to continue to have, and what a great conversation to be in.
Can you repeat the piece that you did at the beginning about what alignment is?
Some of the things we shared is, first, alignment is not voting. It's not getting what you want or stopping someone else from getting what they want. It's not, we talked about it's not stopping people. It's not persuading. And it's not like, I shared this a little, it's not giving up your consideration. Whatever it is that you feel, you don't have to, like, change that. Earlier someone mentioned sometimes it disappears. And to me, the disappearing is in that people heard it. So it's not like a big issue anymore. Like, you're clear people have heard what it is I'm trying to say.
Yes.
But you can keep your consideration and still be present to alignment. Because once again, what we're saying in the International Black Summit, alignment is already. When I say that, we're actually truing ourselves up to the alignment. Because in the International Black Summit, we say there's a conversation in the world. And part of the alignment process is, once again, having us true ourselves up to the alignment inside of that conversation. So those are some of the characteristics of alignment. And it doesn't. And if the other piece is, if one person is not present to that alignment, it's not that there's no alignment. It's that people aren't present to the alignment.
That's
so it's not about numbers.
Earlier in the conversation, Henrietta, you were talking about, and I was asking you about this, all of the people were going the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
The people who were traveling to Grant Park had the same purpose, had the same intention for Barack Obama to win. But when he actually won, that they were surprised, that everybody was in shock, like they couldn't believe it.
Right, and that was because, well, when we discussed it, because we did talk about it, it was because they expected it to last a lot longer than it did. Everybody thought that they were going to be out, have a really long night, because they thought it was going to be more, down to the last minute and all of that kind of stuff. And where we were, there were screens. You walked into the park and you could face whatever direction you wanted. There were screens in all directions. And what they had on the screens was actually what anybody else was watching if they were watching CNN. And at 10 minutes to 10 or 9:45, I guess it was, they went to commercial. And they had about 10 minutes of commercial, lots of commercials. And he said before, he said, when we come back, we'll handle, we'll have more predictions for you. And so that's what everybody was kind of waiting for. And so you just had this conversation for that 10 minutes with different people from different places. And, you kind of just shared in that time. Well, at the about 10 seconds to 10, the people who were in front, I would say maybe 20 rows of people, they started counting down like they do on New Year's Eve. And they counted down 10 seconds, the last 10 seconds. And when they counted down, it flashed. This was, we thought they were counting down because they were coming back, CNN was coming back on with more predictions. And when it came back on, it said Obama elected president. And that's what shocked everybody, was that they weren't expecting that. Well, the people, that I spoke with, we weren't expecting that. We were thinking he was going to come back and say, because the West Coast had just closed. And we thought, it was going to say he's leading by this or he's, McCain is leading by this in this particular state, but it was done. It was a done deal. When they came back, there was no other discussion about it. And once there was just like a hush over the crowd. And then when it kind of set in that he had been elected, then there was this roar that just went across, you know, from one end to the other that people could hear for about a mile, you know, because it was 75 degrees here and people were barbecuing it. You know, the people who lived downtown, they were on their terraces and things and, you know, partying and stuff, and they could just hear the roar, you know, from the people. But it took a moment before it set in. It was like on the screen and it was flashing on the screen, and then people were like, you know, what happened? Is that they almost didn't believe it because it wasn't what they expected at that moment. But it had already occurred. It had already occurred.
And that's what's really powerful about Lyman for me. I keep going back to this. It's an isness to it. And the isness actually present to it. I would assert we got present to it on election day or that night or at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whenever that moment was. But it was already there.
It was. I agree. That's why I was asking that question.
What makes this election so powerful that Barack Obama was literally an unknown. You know, he wasn't a political person who had been like out there. You know, he was would almost call him like a junior senator. You know, the fact that he was African American. Literally African American. On top of that, like there were all of these considerations out there that would have you not even consider this possibility. So, you know, when we started the process, there were a lot of us, myself included, who were just not present to what occurred on November the 5th occurring, but it was already present even back a year ago or 2 years ago. As things unfold, it's like when things are isness, you get evidence, you get proof, support isness of
it. Yeah, so that's where my question is, right there.
Right.
About alignment.
You can't dispute the what-so-ness of it.
Say it again.
You cannot dispute the what-so-ness of it, the isness. Like a law. So if you drop a ball, the ball always has to hit the ground. It can't, if you let go of anything, it doesn't float up in most, unless you're in a controlled environment. But the basic law of gravity is what goes up must come down. Mm-hmm. That's the isness of it. So for me, that's how alignment lives. And sometimes we're present to the isness of things, and sometimes we're just not until facts, you know, things, events occur and they unfold, and then we can be present to it.
Right, and I might say, too, that it may not even be present to the isness, but present.
Right.
Like inside the International Black Summit, we talk about being present. So the present we're talking about, it's almost like, for me, it keeps going back to a lot of removing things. It was, I really got something from Henrietta when she said surrender inside of, like, for me, it's like surrendering my ego, surrendering my position, surrendering how I think it should go. When I release those things, each of those things, releasing of those things has me get connected to what's present. It has me be present. So, that's the other thing that I think is there, is that you become present, not, you know, to, you're present, you know, almost like the word says, you're not in the past, you're not in the future, you're in the moment, and as we know, then you have the next moment and the next moment, but if as each of those next moments are, you know, showing up, are you still present, or are you in the last moment, you know? So, you know, that's one of the things I see. And also, I just wanted to read this line of the International Black Summit, because out of this, the other thing I'm asking myself is, what what was the alignment question? Because it's around, too, the alignment question. So what I'm leaving this call with is an inquiry into, you know, looking at what the alignment question is for Obama being president. But one of the things that I'm very present to as an alignment is our last line of the International Black Summit, where it says, we declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. And that, in the election of Obama, lives an alignment for me. You know, like when I listen to him talk about, you know, his parents, the places he's lived, all of those things, you know, that's where I hear an alignment of that last line, that we, you know, transformation of the universe. Someone sent us, Edwin sent us, Claire's husband, a website where you can see 730 different countries' newspaper covers of announcing the election of Obama. So it was throughout the universe.
It's just the last line of the declaration again, please, a little slower.
Okay, we declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe.
That's really powerful.
Mm-hmm, it is.
You know, and I really thank you for like bringing that forward, because, you know, I could break it down in a lot of different ways. You know, a lot of different ways, from who Barack is and what he represents. But definitely a member of our community, and you know, we're going through a major transformation that's going to affect people all over the world. It's just amazing. The declaration of the International Black Summit is amazing. You know, from the first line, there's nothing to do except be. Somebody brought up earlier about, you know, people one way or another, and people who, it really doesn't matter when you're present to what is, you know, whether you participate in it or not, it's still going to be what is. Yeah.
We noticed in Chicago how nice people have been since Tuesday. Okay. It's amazing. People are speaking to each other like we are in the South. You walk down the street and people are speaking to each other. People are helping people. It's like shift. The shift has occurred. And whenever, you know, you go different places or whatever, people, everybody's bringing it up. Have you noticed how nice people have been all week?
You know. Live in New Jersey now.
Say it again.
I live in New Jersey.
I didn't hear what you said.
I said I live in New Jersey, so my experience has been a little bit different.
It's different. Okay. Right. But it's real, real interesting around Barack's house. And he lives in the city. Okay, he lives on a busy street, you know, with buses going down the street. And
who lives across from him?
Huh?
Who lives across from him that you know?
My sister.
So you really know, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm there every day. Mm-hmm. I'm with her every day. We go for a walk, and we meet at her house, and we walk to the lake because it's about a mile from the lake. And It's really interesting because when he's in the city now, you can't go down the street, you know, traffic. They stop traffic from, you know, going down that street for about maybe 3 blocks east and 3 blocks west. You can't, you have to park somewhere else. And unless you can show your ID that you live on that block, you can't park. Now, you can park on the next block over or whatever, but
it's really interesting. And they have the, you know, the sharpshooters on the roofs of the buildings around. He is very well protected. Let me just say that. You know, security is everywhere. But it's really interesting. The day of the election, or the day before the election, Monday, every newspaper from just about every country you could imagine, they were here. And they weren't just downtown. They were around his house. So they just picked different people, and most of the people in the area, they were interviewed. They did radio interviews. They just, you know, you come out of your house and you were going to the grocery store, they just asked for an interview. One of my friends did a two-hour interview. Just about what it was like living in that neighborhood and how did it really affect, you know, kind of how did it affect them. The only thing I think people don't like about it is they took away a lot of the parking spaces because they don't want you to, you know, park, like, right up on his house, and his house is on the corner. And so, they took away about 6 or 7 parking spaces. And so that's kind of inconvenience because it's an area where parking isn't really great anyway. There are people who have to be searched. He lives across the street from a synagogue. I guess the proper term is a synagogue, I guess. I'm not sure. It's a Jewish place of worship. I'll say that. And they have to be searched when they go in. You know, the people on his block, they go to the grocery store, they search their groceries when they come back, you know, and they have to show ID. And they are the only ones who are allowed on that block, but they have to, you know, they know their license plates. They know, you know, they know who belongs there and who doesn't. But it's really interesting because there's a peacefulness in that area now that wasn't there before. And there's still a lot of foot traffic because everybody, of course, wants to go by and see his house. So, you know, when the Soul Circus was here, there were a lot of people who would just, you know, kind of walk around there because it was not far from his house where they had the circus. Maybe 5 blocks from where the circus was is where he lives. And so there's always a lot of different people up and down that block. But there's a peacefulness that's there now, even with all the different people. It's a different consciousness. It's really interesting.
We had another caller join us, 347-77.
Oh, that's me. I'm hanging out with Glenn.
You have a comment?
He said he was hanging out. I got a comment.
I thought he said he was hanging up.
No, he said, I'm just hanging out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I actually have a comment, and this is going back to something that was previously spoken about, surrender. And so I'm so glad you brought it up, Henrietta, because, and then someone else brought it up again after that. I read this in a book. It's called Citizen Alpha. And this guy is into, you know, mind, body, different things. He's got a very interesting line here. But what I was left with, he said at the end of this, towards the end of the book, he says, this character, his purpose was to align his free will with this plan, his fate, and his destiny. And all of a sudden I got a pen and I wrote in the book, surrender. That's the first time I have heard a definition of surrender that works for me.
Because read it again.
Okay. Well, it says, his purpose was to align, notice alignment is in here too, align his free will with this plan, his fate, and his destiny. And let me just say a bit more about it, because he says in here that he saw the big picture in which every event happened for a reason. Yes, on a daily basis, he exercised his free will. He decided where he was going to eat, where he was going to go. But the big decisions, the people that had been presented to him, his goals, and what he was to learn and accomplish seemed much more purposeful. He could clearly see that little in his life happened by accident. There was a higher power guiding him onward. He realized this other character was right, and his experience from recovery was dead on. His purpose was to align his free will with this plan, his fate, and his destiny. So, because I've been in a conversation about the whole free will thing myself, as you can see, I'm in a lot of conversations, just, you know, distinguishing things, just to get some clarity for my own self, you know, not taking somebody else's word for how it is, because I just want to look at it and mull it over and see how it works for me. And, you know, a lot of people would say, you know, well, just surrender to it. I'm like, no, you know, because surrender occurred for me before I read this. Like, you wave the white flag, like you give up, you throw your hands up, you know, and it's kind of like a denigration. It is not in honor of. This surrender occurs for me to be in honor of, because I do, honestly, I've always felt, I've felt however long I felt it since I was young, that I did come here with a plan. I came here for a purpose, that I decided it, that I chose my parents, you know, that and the whole life path that I was going to be on. I actually do think that. And so I couldn't get into touch with, well, if that's so and I have free will, then how does this work? It's like, I got it. I get to choose. It's like an active, I'm being active and present in my life by, and when I say by choose, I'm not talking about the luncheon thing. I'm talking about I get to be active and present by aligning my free will with what I already, this is here we talk about alignment, what I already said I was coming here to do. Mm. I was like, whoa, that's deep. I love
it. Yes, yes. And I was wondering, Clara, if you had that statement by John Lewis. Oprah had her post-election show, and one of the people she had on was John Lewis, that we know in Congress. And he said a line. I'm going to paraphrase it, and if Clara has it, she'll read it again. But what he said to me, what he said on TV was that spirit had, he was talking about the election of Obama, and he said spirit had tracked him down and had him align his life to this purpose.
Hmm.
So, I mean, when I heard that, I was just like, I was like, I don't believe it, the word align and spirit, because we were having this discussion in Cherry Hill and, you know, the whole thing about alignment. So I thought those words that he spoke was just, it was almost like a, like the speaking of the ancestors for me, and especially for him to come from him being an elderly man. It was just like, you know, just, he mentioned it, and I think Henrietta had mentioned it. In that moment, I had an out-of-body experience as he said that.
Who did you say? This was a guy Oprah had on her show?
John Lewis.
Did he not also say that had he been a Hillary supporter?
Right. He said, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm bringing that up for a reason because he wasn't initially going to take that route. So that's why I'm saying he said the spirit tracked him down, but he had to choose to go along. And that's
right,
the thing about the free will part for me.
Yeah, when you said that, that's what brought that back up for me, was his statement about he aligned, align himself with the purpose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that whole phrase is something, you know, I mean, I would, you know, like to talk on for a lot longer because, you know, I see such richness in it. You know, it wasn't a throwaway statement, you know, and it wasn't just something that you know, just jumped out of his mouth. You know, I think it's something real rich and you know, you can roll around in that and get, you know, I have a sense that there's more to come from that statement.
Well, what I know about it, for me, it occurs like a space of synchronicity, because it was, I don't know if I heard, I think I read this first, and then I heard him. You know, I heard him or backwards. So,
wow.
It was like, you know, that was a hit on it. Because this is, like I said, this is one of those words that, I know. This is one of those words that occurred for me, the surrender, like waving the white flag, because I watched something on PBS the other night that talked about all of the soldiers who gave up in Bataan, I think that's in the Philippines, and how it was like hundreds of them, like some ridiculous number of them, maybe about like 30,000 gave up at one time because they were outnumbered. They had been there for like, you know, a while. And this guy talked about this march that they had once they surrendered, because they were told that they were going to be treated well, because the officer just kept asking, you know, how will my men be treated? But once, and they were told, you know, we're going to honor the Geneva Convention and all that. And once they gave up, they were like put through such terribleness. You know, it's like the Cherokee March of the March of Tears or that thing. And the guy said, the one who survived said, they wouldn't give us water. He said, and by the time I got there, my tongue was so thick and swollen, it wouldn't go back in my mouth. He was that close to death. So that is, in a way, how surrender has occurred for me. It was like, so heck no, I am not doing that. What if I get, but because I can, because I'm saying yes, because I'm saying so, it occurs for me very active. It occurs for me like I'm straightening up, you know. I don't know how to say it. Just straightening up, walking proudly, thumping my chest out, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying yes to this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being an active participant. I'm being a co-creator
in
my own life.
That's a whole another place to be. And I agree with you that I've had the opportunity to reconnect to the word surrender from another place, because I too was kind of that, you know, it's going to hurt me, or I'm becoming vulnerable or a target for something. And out of the quote you read, and just what I've been experiencing around surrender, that there is a whole nother cut of that, you know, I'm definitely inviting myself to step into and, you know, take a look at other than the one I knew before. So where are we now?
We have about two more minutes. Okay.
Is Clara still with us?
Yeah, I'm still there. I was just going to ask if Althea or Jackie, I believe, is still online, if they had comments about alignment or this election that we're in.
The conversation was, I was just listening to the conversation and listening to surrendering and alignment, and it's been distinguished in a way that it hasn't been distinguished for me in a while. I haven't been in this conversation for a while, and alignment and election, and I was in that conversation a while ago, the distinguishing between alignment and election. And I'm still, you know, still in the throes of it. I'm not real clear on alignment or election, only that I know that this election was, like someone said, we went and we voted on November 4th for the party, the candidate of our choice. That's election. That's clear. Alignment for me was just that, like I said, it had to do with change, and it seemed like everybody was looking for a change no matter who they voted for. And and when I listened to McCain's concession speech, some of it was amazing for me, because he actually talked about change.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was clear for me that everyone was aligned on that it is time for something new to happen, something different. And like you said, and I remember all the different countries were also in tune to America and time for change. So that's something that I had never, that I hadn't really looked at before. So thank you for the conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, just so you know, alignment is not a thing that is, alignment is a thing that's in the moment. So we're all in a new place about alignment, wherever we were in the conversation.
Okay.
Very good. Right.
What makes it in the moment? What makes it be in the moment?
It's almost, there's a quote that says you never step in the same place in the river.
Yep.
So it's like that.
Because the moment is just right now, right now, and right now. Each one is now, moment, now. That's how. Because it can be here this moment and gone the next. What Chiquesa just said.
Can't step in the same place in the river. So it's like we're all where we are in this moment. You know, no one's ahead, no one's behind. We are in the moment. And
check me out in the next moment. I may be in a different place.
Right. And, you know, time is an illusion anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just to handle our brains or whatever that processing thing is in there. Because all there is this moment right here. Even the past, those are memories. They don't exist either. The future doesn't exist. All that exists is right here, right now, this moment. That's it.
And can you be present to that?
Right. Oh, great, great point. You're nailing it on the head for me tonight. This is Clara. So you say, can you be present to that? So it brings us back to, you know, being present, being in the moment. You know, are you present to the alignment? You know, it's all about our state of consciousness, you know, and really we call it listening to, but seeing and hearing spirit is telling in the moment.
Yeah. So what I'm left with, again, is when I hear that, are you present to the alignment, where I am right now is, are you present to an alignment? And what is, you know, what is that one? What is
mm-hmm.
that I'm present to?
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that in this moment I'm present to the same alignment that you are, and, you know, that's great. And it's also great when I'm not. So I'm just being in the space of, that's what showed up for me. That's what showed up for me, not necessarily in this conversation. The weekend started that. I'm present to an alignment. And just like we got to the place in the summit where we got to, are you present to the alignment? Like we got that alignment, there is an isness, there is an alignment present.
Mm-hmm.
And now what I'm clear about is there that is an alignment that may be present in this in a moment.
And also in the summit, when we say, are you present to the alignment, we normally identify which alignment we're talking about in the moment. So, like at
mm-hmm.
the week, are you present to the alignment that December 31st be the early bird registration date? And what was interesting about it is if we looked at the isness of it, we always got to that date anyway. Like, that's what would occur.
Well, okay, since we're talking about that, and because I just finished some work on the, you know, on the website. By the way, the registration page has been updated.
Oh, thank you
so
much. So
if you want to register into the 2009 International Black Summit annual event in London, July 30th through August 2nd, you can go to www.blacksummit.org and register. There's a little button, register, over near on the right-hand side there, close to the logo picture up there. Because
so you can have more discussions like this.
Yeah. Oh, well, you can have more discussions like this by participating with us on Sundays at 8 p.m. Is it 7? What time is it? Eastern? I don't know.
7
p.m. Eastern?
Well, I don't know. This is a different time tonight. It's normally 8 o'clock, Claire?
No, it's normally 7 p.m. Eastern.
No. We're talking about the talk show?
Yeah.
Yes.
International Black Summit Talk Show is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Is it 8 p.m.?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Then why is it? So you made a different time tonight?
Yeah.
We did.
Because we made it longer.
An hour.
Oh, it could have been.
Hours tonight.
Okay.
Topic.
Okay, 8 p.m. Oh, yeah, 8 p.m. Eastern. Mine is 8 p.m. Central. Okay, getting confused there. Right here at Blog Talk Radio. And how you get to us is www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. But back to the point I was making about present to an alignment rather than present to the alignment, because what so when I spoke it, because see, I'm still not clear about what occurred for me, I was present to that alignment, and I wasn't aligned with that alignment. So it's something missing for me with that question. It's like it doesn't work. Because the other point for me about alignment is it's not an out there thing. And what I got about what I did is I went outside of myself. I saw the alignment, you know, that was that I saw that alignment and I wasn't aligned. And after when I got to the website, I realized why I wasn't. And Clara, you reminded me of this when you said it's December 31st all the time, because what was on the website was not December 31st.
Right.
It was another date.
Right. And see, the thing I would say is this conversation about, but I aligned, but I wasn't aligned, is just the conversation, like you said,
well, you
within
say that
yourself.
And I wasn't aligned. It's like the surrender thing. It's like in that moment for me, what I did was a capitulation,
okay,
which is not alignment.
But see, that's something you have to deal with within yourself.
And I'm dealing with it. And I can still have a conversation about it. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. You know, you can say whatever, which we're doing. I'm just getting clear for myself about it, which is why I got that, oh, there's another space. Just like we got from where we were with alignment back in the Perry days and where we are now with alignment, we moved here and we got to, are you present to the alignment? Because what became clear was there is an alignment. There's alignment present when folks are together. There is something that there's a commitment for or towards or, you know, there's a standing for like that. And so, like I said, I got clear for myself that there may be alignment, that there is an alignment I may be present to, which I'm not aligned, because alignment, and that's the part that I got clear about, is not an out there thing, which I knew that, but I did something else on that Sunday. It's not an out there thing for me. Alignment is an internal thing.
So
for me,
right? But I'm just saying when you say I was aligned, but I wasn't aligned. I'm just saying.
Okay, so I'm
so
taking
you,
that back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, I got it.
This is Clara and. The summit conversation, one of the things that, like how we address the space that you're speaking of, Lenar, is that one is not present to the alignment.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's not true.
Yeah, she said it the way.
I'm still working it out for myself. You know, so it would have not been accurate for me to say that I wasn't present to it, because I was.
Okay.
I could see it. You know, I could.
Okay.
And,
so then.
So, go ahead. Go ahead, Education.
So, well, I didn't. Well, you may not. You may were actually taking on the piece of actually saying I was not aligned. It was just having both statements at the same time is the piece that I was pointing to about it's no out there.
Right.
You know,
I
hear you're saying you're working on that, and I'm present to it, and you're present speaking. So, you know.
Hey.
Great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are there any final comments before we kind of recap some things? And I'd like to do some announcements before we close the show.
Well, I just wanted to bring up, I went to our Black Summit page, and I'm just looking at our 2008 through 2009 question, and it says,
what aspect of myself am I listening to when I am present to? And it's blank, and you know, you can fill in. But I just thought that was great, given the conversation around being present, to just share the question of the year that we're living into.
What aspect of myself am I listening to when I am present to?
Right, and so then there's a blank line. So tonight you could say, what aspect of myself am I listening to when I am present to alignment? Or what aspect of myself am I listening to when I am present to this election? You know, you get to look at all those different facets. But the lead part of it is, what aspect of myself am I listening to when I am present to?
So I want to say, this is Lenar. It was a great show. I appreciate your listening such that I can continue to distinguish alignment for myself, you know, and get as much clarity as I can about it and around it. And I want to invite those who are listening and in the chat room to participate in our global Skype venture. The International Black Summit, you know, we're looking to expand the conversation, the International Black Summit, to the globe, to the universe. And using technology is a way that we're doing that. So Sunday, the 23rd, if you've got a Skype ID, you know, send it to one of the email addresses on the summit website. Send us that ID, and we'll hook you in. I think, no, it's on November 30th. I apologize. November 30th.
Gotcha, okay. November
30th.
Yeah,
2 p.m.
You.
Eastern.
Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Indeed. Does anyone else have an announcement that they'd like to make before we... Okay, great. So, fabulous show. I want to thank everyone, and I just want to take a minute to invite our listeners to some of our upcoming events. So if you got turned on by this conversation and you want to, you know, hook up with other folks who are keeping the conversation of the summit alive and realizing their vision for the Black community and for the world, we are having our next leadership weekend, April the 3rd through the 5th, 2009, in London, England. Yes. If you're not able to make London, England, or if you are, the next leadership weekend after that is June the 12th through the 14th. That one will be in Atlanta, Georgia. Following that, we will have our annual event, which will be, July the 30th through
right.
August 2nd. And that, again, is in London, England. So I'd like to invite everyone to attend our annual event, where we have an expanded conversation over a day period. And we are also aligned on our 2010 summit, which is going to be in Baltimore, Maryland, and that also is the first weekend in August in 2010. If you want more information about the International Black Summit, our event, a member of our community to donate funds, register for any of our activities or the annual event, you can log into the International Black Summit website. And thanks to Lenar, the registration form for London is up and running.
Yeah.
At www.blacksummit.org. If you are a past summit participant and you want to share about how the summit has forwarded your living your vision, feel free to send an email to lionsview@aol.com to get on a future show. And you can also listen to previously aired talk shows at 24/7 online at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. I would like to thank my co-hosts, Ms. Henrietta Bird and Ms. Shakesha Showers. Phenomenal show. I would also like to thank those of you who joined the conversation, Althea from Virginia, Glenn from New York, Jackie from Canada, Lenar from Chicago. It has truly been a pleasure. I want to thank Glenn in the chat room, the IBS radio team, talk show team members, and everyone who listened, chatted online, or called in to listen on this special segment of the International Black Summit talk show. Be sure to tune in to the next International Black Summit talk show next week, same date Sunday, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And remember, you can listen to this or any past broadcast 24/7 at www.blacksummit.org/talkshow. My name is Claire Lyons Devon, and I invite you to show up powerfully in your life and share the special gift that God has given only to you. I'll see you in London. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good night.